Bibles to Acts chapter 28. We have finally arrived to the last chapter. After going or being in this particular book for about a year. So you're going to see it up on the screen. However, what I want to do is I just want to kind of look at the last couple of verses out of chapter 27 so we can kind of get an idea of where we're at. And remember that Paul is in a shipwreck. So the Apostle Paul is in a shipwreck. They're trying to make their way to Rome. He's got a centurion on board. There's about 276 people that were in danger. This storm was pushing them really anywhere it wanted to. They are totally out of control. They were throwing stuff off the boat. That is the cargo. It was a cargo ship, wheat, trying to keep the boat afloat, if you will. And so we see then at the end of chapter 27, I'm just going to read from about verse 43. It says, "But the centurion, wishing," you guys see that? "To save Paul, kept them from carrying out their plan." The soldiers were going to kill the prisoners because if any of the prisoners escaped, Roman soldiers were responsible for that by giving their own lives. So he ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and make for land, and the rest on planks or on pieces of the ship, so that all were brought safely to land. So the ship runs aground, it breaks to pieces. The people on board had to literally jump out if they knew how to swim. And if you didn't know how to swim, you grabbed a hold of something, like a piece of a plank or of the ship. However, I want you to see that what it says in the last part of chapter 27. "And so it was that all were brought safely to land." All were brought safely to land. That's not coincidence. That's not happenstance. It's a plan that God had shared with Paul through the angel. Remember, he appeared and told him that they were going to be safe. And we see in this story the hand of God. We see in this story that God is sovereign, in control. His man, Paul, is going to make it to Rome. But there are a few bumps in the road, if you will. Right? Isn't that how life really works? We have our plans. We have the things we desire. We would like to happen. We kind of, in our minds, if not in our, I guess some people actually may even write out what their goals are and where they want to go. But they don't always work out that way, do they? The storms of life appear, and we see what's happening here. Paul is safe, and so is everyone on board. So let's do this. Let's pray, and then I'm going to go right into chapter 28. And I don't think we're going to finish the chapter today, so we'll continue. But let's just pray for the sermon as we go through chapter 28, verse by verse. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you again for this time that we have set apart for you. We just ask for your blessing. We ask you, Lord, to be the one who is in charge here this morning. Be the one that's teaching us. We pray that we would open our hearts and that we would look and try and find, Lord, this morning, these things that reveal to us who you are, what you want with us, and the blessings that exist because we follow you. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So starting with verse 28, after it says the last verse of chapter 27 that they were brought safely to land, we run into this next section where it says, after we were brought safely through, we then learned that the island was called Malta. A couple things. They were brought safely through. If we keep our eyes on Christ, if we desire to follow Him, no matter what circumstances or no matter what happens in our lives, the setbacks, the disappointments, the tests, the difficulties, whatever shows up, in this particular case, a storm, whatever happens, He's going to get us through. And I know a lot of you, and depending on where you're at in your life right now and what you're going through, may be thinking, well, yeah, sure, I want to get out of this. Man, I like for this to be over, and it will be. We just don't know how long it's going to be. We can't dictate the length of time that we find ourselves in circumstances that are not favorable, that we believe maybe even aren't fair. But God hasn't promised us that we wouldn't go through difficulties. He doesn't even promise us that He'll take us out of them, even though that may be what we want. But He will get us through them, right down the middle of them. And this storm, as bad as it was, as dangerous as it was, they had absolutely no idea where they were, because as we read there, it says, after we were brought safely through, they made it. Granted, I mean, it was a little bit rocky, right? That ship was being tossed back and forth on the waves of that hurricane, because that's what it was, a hurricane. They made it safely through. And then it says, we then learned that the island was called Malta. That wasn't their destination. They were roughed up enough to where they didn't even know what island they landed on. Have you ever found yourself somewhere that you ask yourself the question, how did I get here? Huh? Anyone here honest enough to say, I get it. I agree. What am I doing here? This isn't the place I want to be. Remember, their destination is Rome. Well, interestingly enough, and there may be those who may say, oh, come on, Pastor, you know, it's all random and, you know, it just kind of happened that way. And we may think that. But you know what's interesting? And I'm not going to say it's coincidence. I don't believe in that as a child of God, as a child who belongs to a sovereign God, a God who's in control. I don't know if you know that about yourself. God is absolutely in control of every detail of your life, and that of Paul specifically. Malta means something. And you know what the word means? Escaped. Go back to the original language, and you'll find that this Greek word, this island, Malta, means escape. So I could easily read this like this. We then learned, after we were brought safely through, that the island was called Escaped. What did they escape from? From the storm. Now, there's another rendition as a look at the cognate, the root of this word. And if you go even further back into what it means, it could also mean refuge. Escaped refuge. Kind of synonymous. So you could read the word like this. We then learned that the island was called refuge. It was a place of escape or a place of refuge. And wherever it is that you may land in the storms of your life, in the shipwrecks of your life, you can rest assured that where God takes you, it's always a place of escape and refuge. Safe haven, if you will. So I don't know. That's just coincidence. Oh, Pastor, you're just making things up so that the sermon sounds good. Well, I don't know how big your God is. If he can't control a ship in the middle of a storm, then I'm going to doubt very seriously that he also can control the orbit of the stars and the universe itself. I'm not going to put my life in his hands if I don't believe that he's the creator and that everything rotates around his will and his purposes. I don't know if you guys are with me this morning. I don't, some of you guys are dozing off already. You ever see those little floppy neck? You're like, what I'm trying to tell you is this. When you put your life in God's hands, when you trust him, the one who from nothing spoke and the universe just leapt into existence and all of the constellations, if you will, the whole universe itself dances around, if you will, in unison according to his will. It's not random. And if God can control and keep the universe together, he can keep your life together. And what may seem to be unfortunate circumstances and bad luck and, oh man, why did this happen to me? And how did I get here? Is not that at all. It's just part of the journey. And yet what he wants to show to us, because when they had lost all hope, and we saw that last week, when they had gone through all their resources and all of their professional knowledge as a captain of a ship and navigators, and when they couldn't control where this ship would go, it landed at a place safely called refuge. It's not coincidence. It's the hand of God. Paul has a mission that God has put him on. And he promised him that not only would he declare the good news of the gospel in Jerusalem, he would also do so in Rome. Why not? This apostle, this missionary to the world, the one who took the good news out from that little land of called Israel. He takes it out to the then known empire of Rome. Why not go to the principal city, the capital of that empire, Rome? Of course. And that's where God's going to take him. Now, what kind of a message does Paul have? Well, he has the gospel that he's proclaiming. And what does gospel mean? Well, the gospel comes from the same word we get evangel, where we usually hear the word evangelical or evangelism. And the word simply means good news. Paul is a messenger of good news. And whose message is it? It's the good news of Jesus Christ. He's not preaching, if you will, or teaching his message. He's simply an ambassador. He's someone that has been sent to these people. And what kind of news is he bringing? Good news. Because Paul, and I know we see it in the movies, when we hear him say, "I come in peace." That is those UFO movies, you know, when they come, I don't know. We come in peace. Well, Paul comes in peace. He has a message of peace. He has a message of salvation. So he appears to this island, and I find it quite interesting that when they land there, verse number 2, how am I doing so far? I just finished verse 1. No wonder it took me a year to get through this. I mean, how much time do I actually have left? Verse number 2, we're moving on. I love this stuff. The native people showed us unusual kindness. For they kindled a fire and welcomed us all because it had begun to rain and was cold. The natives were hospitable. They showed kindness. How many people were there? 276 on that boat, and all of them arrived safely. So what kind of a fire did they kindle? It must have been a bonfire. They were cold and they were wet. And these people, these native peoples, and don't think about, when you think of native peoples, don't think about these guys with bones through their cheeks. You know what I mean? These are people from Malta. They were original to that island, and they were kind. Now, we've talked a lot about hospitality recently as one of the great virtues of being a Christian is being hospitable, about being kind, right? And I find it interesting here that we find these people who are non-Christians are hospitable. You know why? Because it's the right thing to do. It's just that if you call yourself a Christian, you better make sure you are, because Christ's appearance, Christ's visitation to this planet is a demonstration of God's mercy and grace and love. He came to us to seek and to find that which was lost. He demonstrated in his visit, is in his incarnation, the story that we celebrate at Christmas. In his presence among us, willingness to stoop and reach down to us because we needed help for salvation. And he was willing to do that out of a kind and merciful heart. And what we know is that God has put in all men's hearts. We're going to see that in Romans when we go through it next, chapter 2. All men's hearts know what's right and wrong. It's a whole other thing if you choose to follow and to do what's right and wrong. In other words, he's placed in our DNA a moral code. And these people were kind. They showed hospitality to Paul and to the people that were accompanying them. I find that to be interesting. It's a good thing to be kind to a messenger of the good news of the gospel. It's not a good idea to reject them, because you're not really rejecting the messenger. You're rejecting who sent them. I don't know if you guys heard what I said. Now, let me just kind of, so we can get some kind of a foundation on this. Go with me to Matthew 10. Remember when Jesus sent out his disciples to reach the communities around Judea? He said this to his disciples, these 12 that he had picked. Remember he picked 12? You got your Peters and Andrews and John and Matthew and all these guys. So at Matthew 10:40, he says this: whoever receives you receives me. Words of Jesus. See, I don't take it personal when people reject me. Because by proxy or by default, you should. I'm a goofball. I'm a knucklehead. But I'm not coming with my own words. I'm not up here preaching out of the book of Bob, chapter 1, verse 1. I'm preaching out of the gospel, the words of Christ. So yeah, you can reject. I've been rejected many times. I'm not going to take it personally. But Jesus is saying, whoever receives me or receives you receives me. So by receiving the messenger with the good news, you're actually receiving the one who sent him and who sent these disciples in Matthew's gospel. Well, Christ did. Who sent Paul? Well, Christ did. And whoever receives me receives him who sent me. There we go. The one who receives a prophet, because he is a prophet, will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person, because he is a righteous person, will receive a righteous person's reward. Hey, if a person comes in peace with a message that's good, a good message, the good news, and you receive him, and he's coming as a prophet, that is a representative of someone else, not his words, as like an ambassador does not go to another country with his message or his policy, he goes with the message of the policy of the government that sent him. So here we find then that it says, you will receive a prophet's reward. There's a reward for receiving the one who God sends. Now we say, what's this all got to do with Malta? What's this all have to do with Paul's shipwreck on an island? Everything. Because they, instead of rejecting him, they received him. They welcomed him. They were kind to him. They started this bonfire because they're wet and cold. And there's going to be blessings for that person. Let me just finish this up here and we'll talk a little bit more about that. Then he goes on to say, if you receive a righteous person, because he is a righteous person, he will receive a righteous person's reward. So put it this way, if you receive a good person because he's a good person, you're going to have a good reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. God's going to bless you. That's what this is saying. Hospitality is rewarded, especially to the one God sends with the good news. Now, remember that Hebrews, it says that there were angels sent unaware. We should be kind to everybody. Abraham understood that. When these three people appeared to him while he was out on in his tent in a hot summer day, and these three angels appeared, he didn't know that one of them was actually the physical appearance of Jesus Christ before his incarnation. It's called a Christophany. They appeared, these angels, to warn them about what was impending for Sodom and Gomorrah, about a punishment that was coming. And they were coming first. And remember that Abraham received them, not even knowing who they were, but they were actually angels, messengers, and the Lord himself. You never know who you may cross paths with that God has sent into your life. We should be kind to everybody, even if they don't agree with your political positions nowadays. I mean, today it's getting rough. Can't even go to a restaurant anymore. That's so wrong. You know what? It's a free country. You're free to believe what you want. And the risk of freedom, or the potential problem of freedom, is that you have the right to be wrong. And so do I. You know what I'm saying? Freedom and free will is a gift God has given all of us. We have the right given to us by God to reject Christ. So you have that right. But you also have the freedom to receive him and accept him, which is better for you. Either way, you have the right. These people in Malta received Paul with kindness. And I just want you to see that they weren't even fellow believers. Because God has put in our hearts, as I was saying earlier, the knowledge of what's right and wrong. And we have to decide for ourselves which path we're going to take. And either one you take, you will have to answer and you will have to endure the consequences of your decisions. Decisions should be taken very carefully, especially decisions about kindness. You don't want to reject the wrong person. Paul is accepted, right? They showed him unusual kindness, it says. And I find that very interesting. We find also and discover as we go on here, and let's keep reading, going back to Acts 28. And I have now finished verse 2. There's something to talk about here. It says, when Paul gathered a bundle of sticks, he put them on the fire. A viper, meaning a poisonous snake, came out because of the heat and fastened to his hand. And when the native people saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "No doubt this man is a murderer. Though he has escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." He, however, shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. They were waiting for him to swell up and suddenly fall down dead. But when they had waited a long time and saw no misfortune come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. A couple of interesting things I see here. So there's 276 people on this boat. And these natives receive them and they begin to collect wood. How many of you guys have ever gone camping? When you go out to find, you know, kindle and wood. I mean, I don't know about me. I'm always kind of concerned that what might jump out from underneath the bundle that I grab. A snake? A bear? I mean, you know, because sometimes you got to go a little bit further out than just where you're camping. I remember one time I went camping to Sequoia. And I got this tent, you know, at Costco, and I was all excited. And I bought a cot because I was not sleeping on the floor. And so there we are, right? And I'm sleeping, and all of a sudden, there's a nice, fine, I don't know how thick a tent is. But all of a sudden, I heard a on my ear. Something was smelling me on the other side of that tent. Well, anyway, it's not... There's potential danger out in a forest or out when you're collecting wood. You guys know that, right? In this life we live in, there's potential danger out there, especially on the 91. But here's what I see. First and foremost, Paul, as a Christian leader, doesn't think so highly of himself that he sits back and lets everyone else collect the wood. You know, sometimes there are Christian leaders, they're too good to sit among the congregation, to hang out with you guys. I've seen them. So I've seen them sit up front. They put chairs for them up here. I sit here with you guys. I'll never sit up front. You know why? Because I'm just like you. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I just happen to have the calling to be a pastor. That's a little different from yours. But Paul, and I find it, he's amazing to me. He's the perfect man. Because when he had 276 people that could go out and collect wood, and I know there's a lot of people to build a bonfire for, he doesn't just kick back and think, just let all those minions do my work for me. He goes out there himself and starts collecting wood. He doesn't think himself better or bigger than all of them. That's the way it should be. This shows us the true Christian leader always must have humility. We don't have that kind of leadership. And he's always concerned about those he's leading. And he's willing to set the example. He's willing to do that which he asks them to do. No leader is worth following if they're not willing to do what they're asking you to do. I'm just saying. I like that about Paul. But yeah, he goes out there and bam, he gets bit by a viper. There is potential danger out there. Do you know that there are no guarantees that today or tomorrow, if you wake up, which that's not a guarantee either, that there is danger lurking around you? There's a firefighter in here that knows that's true. And his job is to go rescue people and put out fires. We don't know when they're going to happen. If we did, we wouldn't need them. Here's the thing I want you to see. God protected Paul. This was a viper. This was a poisonous snake. I went back and looked at the original Greek. Not that I know Greek, but I got access to resources, and that's what it's referring to. It's a poisonous snake. And it got a hold of Paul because he grabbed a chunk or a big pile of wood, and when he threw it into the fire, the snake was not, there was a stick in there that wasn't a stick. In other words, there was a stick in there that was alive. And it bit him. Because the fire, of course, like any of us, we put our hand to the fire, the first thing you do, you move it back as fast as possible, right? Hot cup of coffee falls on your hand, first thing you're going to do is you're going to leap out of the way, and then you're going to sue McDonald's. I can't believe you guys pay me to do this. What am I trying to say? There's potential danger. And yet, Paul, because he's doing what God called him to do, and there's this viper that is clinching to Paul's hand, because the viper wants to escape too, from the danger, the fire. And Paul is sitting there, and it says there in verse 5, that the people, or rather in verse 4, the native people saw this, and they thought to themselves, oh man, there's no doubt that this guy's a murderer, because even though he escaped the sea, the storm, justice, and by the way, when they refer to justice here, it's with a capital J, you'll notice here, that is specific to a Greek god. Justice was one of the Greek gods. They're saying the Greek god Justice, what? Goes on to say, let me find it again. Justice has not allowed him to live. Man, this guy thought he escaped the storm, but he really must have done something wrong, you know, because karma is, you know. And guess what? He's getting his. However, it says in verse 5, he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. The howevers in the Bible are important, because what they are referring to is that in spite of what may potentially harm us, there is, however, God presence in our lives and God's intervention in our lives. Whatever may happen to you, whatever potential danger exists out there for you. Hey, you can't even walk out anymore. Who knows? Drive by or whatever. Whatever may be the situation that we are potentially at risk of suffering some danger, it doesn't matter if we belong to Him. Because however means God can intervene. And where Paul should have swelled up and died right there on the scene, if you will, what happens? Let's look. He shook it off into the fire and suffered no harm. And they, that is the native people of Malta, right? They, what were they doing? Were waiting for him to swell up and suddenly fall down dead. They were like literally looking at their smartwatches going, any minute now. And he didn't die. And I ask, why? Because God protected him. And I'm going to tell you, there are many things you're not even aware of. Many potential dangerous situations that we're not even aware of that God has kept us from. I remember one time I was on a 60, right there where the 91 meet. I was going to work back in the day, flying down the road. I was a little late. And all of a sudden, I don't know why, but somebody made a move and another car made a move. And the next thing I know, they're all braking. And all you hear are screeching tires and you see smoke. And I'm thinking to myself, as I'm going right into the smoke, I literally said, "Dear Jesus, help me." And all of a sudden, I don't know how it happened, I was turned into Mario Andretti. I did a move to the left and a shift to the right, and the next thing I know, I went right through that. This is a true story. I went right through it, and all I could see behind me were stopped cars, and I got to work on time. It's true. I mean, who knows? I'm not that good of a driver. I'm just saying, who knows what it is out there that God has protected us from, some danger that we're not even aware of. Paul wasn't aware of it. He wouldn't have picked up and thought that that stick was alive. If he thought it was alive, he wouldn't have picked it up. It was a snake. All I can say is that God protects us. Now, it goes on to say here, verse 6, they were waiting for him to swell up and suddenly fall down dead. But when they had waited a long time, they saw no misfortune come to him. And they changed their minds and said that he was a god. He wasn't, just Paul, who had God on his side. And that's all we're trying to say here. It is a good thing to walk with Christ. Because when we walk with him, he walks with us. You guys hear what I'm saying? Now, in the neighborhood of that place were lands belonging to the chief man of the island named Publius, who received us. Notice the word received again. Notice we talked about receiving. Whoever receives you receives me. Who receives us and entertain us hospitably for 3 days. Hey, it's not that easy to host people for 3 days. And we don't have a party around at my place. I count down, put on the RSVP, you know, when they invite them. It's just for 2 hours, and then you're out of here. Right? Three days. Talk about hospitality. It happened that the father of Publius lay sick with fever and dysentery. And Paul visited him and prayed, and putting his hand on him, healed him. Remember what was told to Abraham by the Lord when he called him, all the way back in the Old Testament, chapter 12 of Genesis. Those that bless you, I will bless. And those that curse you, I will curse. And that was true for Israel. Any nation that cursed them has been cursed. Any nation that's blessed them will be blessed. That's why I'm glad, if I could point out one thing, that our nation has always been a blessing to Israel. Could be the reason why we're blessed. I would dare to venture out and say it is the reason. One of the reasons. And we find here that these people were blessed. These people were benefited from receiving Paul. And so now we see that the chief's father was sick, and Paul goes and heals him. And when this had taken place, the rest of the people of the island who had diseases also came and were cured. The whole island was blessed by Paul's presence because they received him instead of rejecting him. I mean, they could have tied him up and put him on a rotisserie. Right? You see those movies of that kind of stuff going on? No, they didn't. They received him. And it says, end of verse 9, that all who had diseases also came and were cured. They also honored us greatly. And when we were about to sail, they put on board whatever we needed. Not only that, but when they left, they found the ship that was passing by. They loaded it up so they wouldn't have any need. I think this stuff is amazing. Now, Paul arrives at Rome. After 3 months, we set sail in a ship that had wintered in the island. Apparently, they had to stop at another island and stay there for 3 months and let the winter pass because it was impossible to travel in the Mediterranean Sea at that time of the year. It was kind of like the Santa Anas that we have. Well, they had their winds that crossed the Mediterranean. And it goes on to say here that after 3 months, we set sail in a ship that had wintered in the island, the ship of Alexandria, with the twin gods as a figurehead. Putting in at Syracuse, we stayed there for 3 days. And from there, we made a circuit and arrived at Reginum. And after one day, a south wind sprang up. And on the second day, we made it to Puteoli. There we found brothers, and we were invited to stay with them for 7 days. And so we came to Rome. And the brothers there, when they heard about us, came as far as the Forum of Appius and 3 taverns to meet us. On seeing them, Paul thanked God and took courage. And when we came into Rome, Paul was allowed to stay by himself with a soldier who guarded him. One last thing I think I want to touch on today. And it's this: Paul arrives to Rome. You know, Paul wanted to go to Rome for some number of years. For a long time, here, I've been preaching through this book, and for many months, we've seen that we're trying to get Paul to Rome, haven't we? And finally, he arrives. This long dream has been fulfilled. And it's been years that Paul had this desire in his mind to go to Rome. It had been years in which his desire of his heart was to go to this great city. And now it's fulfilled. I think it's important. Just look with me real quickly to Romans, which is the very next book, we find that he gets there. He writes them a letter. This whole book of Romans is because of his desire to minister to them, to serve them, to teach them. There's a whole book on Romans. Go back to chapter 28 of Acts. Just wanted you to see that. But I put in the bulletin today, and I think I'll close with this. This verse out of Psalms 37:4. It says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." I really believe that's what God did for Paul. He had this desire in his heart. We know that he loved the Lord. We know that by how he sacrificed so much for his ministry, how he suffered. We've gone through it. I won't go through it again with you. We know the great pain that he went through to be obedient to the calling that he had on his life. I've always wondered about this verse. The key is to first understand that we're to delight ourselves in the Lord. Now, what does that mean? Well, what do you delight in? Me? I really like getting into and delight in pepperoni pizza. I don't know what it is about it. The idea here is that you have this delight, and you could choose whatever it is for your life, whatever that may be. You understand what it means. That particular thing you delight in is important to you. It's a choice you make. And here Paul is delighting in the Lord because he's good. We're not here because God's mean. Right? We're here because he's good. The Psalms, which would be David's writings, the king, King David, said, "Delight yourself in the Lord." So there is a kind of a qualifying factor to this particular verse that we need to make the Lord our delight. Make him first. Jesus would say something similar to this verse where he said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added to you." referring to material things like food and housing and clothing. Remember that when Jesus said that? What was the qualifier? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That doesn't mean you can't have everything else. It's just that the everything else can't be first. As a matter of fact, you'll never really find the everything else, truly, until you do put God first. And when you do, then everything else falls into your life as a blessing from God. And so when David says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart, what he's saying is whatever desires you have in your heart, he'll plant them in your heart, and then he will fulfill them. He'll give you good desires. And it was a good desire for Paul to want to go to Rome because he cared about those people. And he wanted them also to get the good news. So God fulfilled his desire of his heart. And so this verse gives me permission to say to you this morning that God definitely is in the business of fulfilling desires, especially as they relate to ministry and sharing the gospel. In Psalm 145, verse 19, it says, he will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. So when a person puts himself in the right perspective with God, God in turn will fulfill that person's desire. God wants to fulfill our dreams, ambitions, and hopes. But those dreams and ambitions and hopes are not appropriate when God's not first. But when he is, God will fulfill them. I'm done. Believe it or not, but that's your choice. I can tell you God has things in store for you that you cannot even imagine. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, we just thank you again. And we pray, Lord, that this passage that we looked at today regarding Paul's shipwreck and his landing on Malta and all the things that transpired and all the things that we saw, we can make some pretty clear interpretations. And one of them that we always can arrive at is that you are so good to us. Even when we don't know how it is we got to where we got, you're there. You bless those around us, and you know what's in our hearts. We can be so disappointed in so many things that we would like to happen in our lives. But I think this morning you're telling us that if we give you priority, if our perspective is to please you and delight in you, there isn't anything you wouldn't give us. And so we're thankful for that. We don't deserve it, but you're good. And so this morning we have grateful hearts and we're humbled because you would stoop to our level to meet our needs. And that's good. We thank you. And we bless your name. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.